Go with me to John chapter 5. This is one of the most fascinating passages because of the classic way it reveals to us not only who God is, but also who we are. You know, and that's one of the things that the Bible does, and it does it honestly, and it's kind of dangerously so sometimes. And this is one of them. Let me just read to you about the first 16, 17 verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down on a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was lying there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made whole or well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "Well, you made me well, said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Fascinating scripture. The only historian who even records this story is John in this gospel. And that's rather fascinating. Not all of the translators of the manuscripts that go into the New Testament agree relative to what's happening here, how it's even translated. Any of you who have the NIV will discover that when it comes to an angel stirring the waters, they do not put that in there. And there's ample reason for that. So there is some controversy about this. But let's assume, let's just leave it there for the moment and assume that John's correct here. What a gathering of people. Bethesda means house of mercy. They are hoping that somehow the misery of their lives will be taken care of by this pool. It's interesting the things we gather around, is it not? Hoping that somehow or other this will do it for us, man. We gather around money, do we not? Money, 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 money. Oh, what a gathering. What a gathering. We certainly gather around pleasures. It's amazing to me to see how we desperately, desperately hope that the next fun moment, man, the party, the top all parties, or the wave that beats all waves as we surf, all the ways that we think that will do it for me. If I ever achieve that, I'll be well. I don't know if you find it interesting just watching the things that they advertise on television, that they try to get us to gather around, that if you just had this, not sold in stores, all of the needs of your life would be met. And one of the things that we gather around, we, this country, who is blessed with everything, is we found that everything has its problems. And so now they will sell you instruments to help you reduce the everything that you took in. And we do, we gather around that. If we were a physically fit nation, that's it. That's all we need. I mean, we have some bad things going on, but if we were physically fit, it wouldn't be bad anymore. All you need is good abs. I have good abs, by the way. And if you happen to own one of the, I call them mud movers, but if you happen to own a family fitness center, I'm really on your side. I mean, in behalf of this, but I'm always mistrustful of any place that has signs on the wall that says, no pain, no gain. So we pay them our money and we say, hurt me. But we think if I can just get in shape, all my troubles will be solved. And that's part of the gathering around this place. We are hoping that somehow, I'd just be so happy if I'd be famous. That's it. If everyone would stop and say, aren't you? Yes, you are. Ooh, come on.
Oh, yes, thank you.
And we gather around that, whatever can make us well known. Remember the Powerball? We certainly gather around. Not you guys. But isn't it amazing when it got up to $150 million, people were crossing state lines to where it was legal just so they could clunk their money down in the worst scam ever to hit this country? I wanted to stand out there and say, leave your money with me, I'll give you best odds. But we gather around hoping that somehow our needs will be met. What a gathering. What a gathering. And look who's there. Probably the best representation of this world you will find anywhere. Sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. We would call it Congress. Sorry about that. But now you've got to put yourself in this story, because there is a fascinating thing here. They believe that at a certain season, and it would have been associated probably with one of the three feasts where all the male Jews were expected to come, and Jesus was there. And they thought when that water was stirred by an angel, whoever jumped in first. Aha. That's another good American principle. First. No one runs around. When you see it on television, no one, when he scores a touchdown, says, I'm number four. I'm number four. We're into first. You got to see this crew of people. This kind of boggles my mind. The whole thing is who gets in first. So they're gathered around this. Move over. And they're watching each other. You think this was a loving gathering? Do you think if they said, take the time to greet one another? Because you might get in before I do. Don't like that. Now here's the other interesting thing. These people are sick, they're blind, they're lame, they're paralyzed. How do they jump? Which means, especially from the clue we find just a little later on, they all had pushers. Connections. See, that's the other thing we like, is connections.
Yes, I was talking to the senator just the other morning. And...
Well, yes, the mayor told me today that, yes, you know, yes, that guy has connections, and we all would like to have connections. Somebody that can get us in. They had to have a pusher. Can you see this? I don't know if any of you have ever been to Pasadena on New Year's Day. I understand because of the Y2K, the flowers aren't going to bloom. But a week before they have the Rose Parade, people will go out and they put out, they will actually survey little area and they drive stakes and they put things like these police yellow things around, you know, caution, police, potential murder. And they will sleep there. They'll put out sleeping bags and stay there because that's their spot and they don't want anyone else getting the spot. You put your thing too close to mine, boy. Yeah. And I've watched that and I thought, this is the world. And that's the pool of Bethesda. Man. Can you feel the tension there as they shuffle and as they gather and they say, okay, I hired you, buddy. You keep your hands on me. You watch that pool. Can you see someone with a really nervous pusher? Oh! Help me! I can't swim! I only push! I can see people as they're looking around at the other people's pushers. Boy, it's a bigger guy than my guy. Wonder if he's ever going to be a free agent. That's the world, folks. The tension, you can feel it. Wondering, oh man, I'm going to have to go to sleep, but I'm going to have to hire 3 pushers so I can have at least 8 hours on each one. Because even if I'm asleep, and the thing, you got to push me. It's a dog-eat-dog world out here, you know, in this house of mercy. Now, let me pause here, though, and say, you know, there are times when we take certain systems of the world without even examining it, over into the kingdom of God, assuming that if it works so well in the world, it's got to be a kingdom principle. And competition is one of those things that we sometimes think, hey, it's a good American thing, you know, and God invented America and wrote the Constitution. Therefore, we should probably bring this over in. God didn't write the Constitution. I'm being facetious. And competition is a good thing out in the world. But you know what? When you come into the body of Christ, it's not the same thing. This is a body. It's different. And anything that sets you against your brother is a very dangerous thing that needs to be examined extremely closely and great lengths taken to redeem it. What if one part of your body competed with another part of your body? Think of it. I'm right-handed. Holds the fork. Suppose my left hand got jealous. You always... It's my turn. You come back here. Give me the... Hey, guys, I'm hungry. That's okay. We're fighting. Where do we get to? Aren't you glad that your teeth and your tongue get along? I'm so glad my hands do not beat my stomach into submission. There are other things, too, that we need to examine very, very carefully before we ever bring them into the kingdom of God and work on ways to redeem it. Wow. Jesus enters the scene. Now, nobody's paying any attention to Jesus. It's the pool, man. And it's whoever gets in first. You can't afford to take your eyes off of the pool. I fly a lot, and I enjoy looking through airline magazines, and they are filled with things to help you beat others. One of them I saw that showed this shark and this little fish that was happy, enjoying life. But right behind him was this shark. And it says, "What do you call people who don't use our software? Lunch." Another one that's in almost every one of them, "You don't get what you deserve, you only get what you negotiate." It's our world. And we can't afford to take our eyes off of the system for even a moment. And so as they're all there, tense and shuffling around, man, and hoping that their pusher is alive and alert and hoping that he don't use the toilet right now. I think. Don't leave. I'll be back. Please. Jesus enters. Nobody's paying any attention to him. You would think, wouldn't you, logically, unless you understand the nature of Jesus, that he would come up and say, "Hey guys, we have a special offer today. Jump, jump, jump. All of you." And all that would do would be start a whole new tradition. But it still wouldn't focus their attention on Jesus. Now, you know, I have a crazy mind. You don't want my mind, trust me. And if I were a person bent on practical jokes, which I'm really not, but if I were, and I lived back then, you know what I would do? I'd be standing outside with a rock and I'd throw it over in the water. Splash, splash, boom, splash, splash. That's sick. See what I mean? You don't want my mind. But Jesus finds his way to an entirely different group. Not the group that's over here saying, "I worked hard to get here. I paid a lot of money for this position. I got the best pushers in the county." Yeah, I see that guy over there. Huh? He can't hack it. Why he's over there. If he would work as hard as I would, he'd be up here. But you know what? The people up here were paralyzed. They just had pushers, that's all. This guy over here was paralyzed. He just didn't have a pusher. That was the only difference. They were both paralyzed. And Jesus comes on the scene and does a really interesting thing. By the way, we have certain little sayings that a lot of people think that are in the Bible, and they really aren't, but they sound biblical, you know, like cleanliness is next to godliness. Sounds great, doesn't it? But it's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, go for cleanliness anyway, trust me. When I was a kid... My mother had decided, at least for me, cleanliness was next to impossible. But there's another thing that we often will assume is a biblical statement, but it really isn't. God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that one? Not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. But I want to give you another statement here that is also not in the Bible, but it's provable, whereas the other one certainly isn't. And that is, God helps those who cannot help themselves. Now, many of you here, maybe all of you here, know that already. There have been moments in your life when you came to the point you realized, I can't do it. Some of you came to the Lord and you knew that He's my only hope, and maybe you walked down this aisle to do it. You did not walk down this aisle thinking, boy, God, I bet you're proud. Aren't you lucky? I'm here. I got looks. I got money. I have influence. I have intelligence. God, you are a lucky one. No. We respond out of the knowledge of the truth about ourselves. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm like the people around this miserable pool. Help me. And so Jesus finds His way to this fellow who for 38 years had lived an absolutely helpless existence, no matter how he willed it. It didn't come about. You've heard the thing, you can achieve whatever you can imagine. Come on. He can imagine all he wanted, man. He could imagine himself in the pool first. Didn't do him a bit of good. Best imagination he could have possibly had would not have done one thing for him. And then Jesus shows up. Man. Yeah. Would you like to be well? Now, folks, not everybody wants to be well. There are some people who have made such peace with being sick. And I'm talking here in a real spiritual sense. They think, well is for you Christians. You have to have crutches. But me, I'm tough. I've learned how to carry my baggage. I've developed a special baggage walk here, just to carry my baggage. But you Christians love crutches. Yes. Thank God for the crutch of Jesus. Wow. This man answers in a way that says, look, I'm willing for you to help me my way. Well, sir, the problem is, when the water moves, I head that way, but they got pushers. I don't. Are you going to be my pusher? Are you volunteering, sir? See, he didn't know what Jesus was up to. That's the way we tend to. Some of you, when you became a follower of Jesus, you were a little scared because you didn't know. The devil tries to make us afraid. Watch out. Don't do this Jesus thing, man. You remember, don't you? And boy, does he ever lie. And we tend never to really fully understand because it can't be explained what God does for us when we make our way to Him. And here this guy's thinking, you're going to do it my way, aren't you? You're going to be my pusher. The apostles had that same kind of problem. There was a point when Jesus and the apostles were on the east side of the Galilee. He says, let us go to the other side. And whenever He says, let us go to the other side, us is going to get there. But Jesus is exhausted. He goes to sleep in the boat, and the guys are rowing along. A storm. Waves coming. And they start bailing. Oh, man, we're in trouble. Finally, they get mad at Jesus. Wake up! You don't care. Get up. Bail! We need to land and bail. They didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They woke Him up to get Him to bail. But then Jesus showed them how much water He was in charge of. That they weren't expecting. And now Jesus shows the guy how much of life He's in charge of. Sir, get up. Roll up your bed, go home. Oh, He does. This is glorious. He had no idea this was going to happen. Don't even need a pusher anymore. Don't need a pool anymore, man. I can go home now. This is wonderful. One small problem. The Sabbath. It's amazing how by traditions we take things that God intended for good and turn them really into bad things. Any of you who ever go to Jerusalem will discover in Jerusalem, not so much in the rest of the country, really the majority of Israel would be atheistic, but in Jerusalem there's a heavy Orthodox influence, and you will discover that in the major hotels they have what they call Sabbath elevators. Now, you see, they believe that if you punch a button, that's work. Now, don't ask me how they got there. You know, convoluted thinking. Tradition. God didn't say, don't punch an elevator button. So you know what this elevator will do? This is the thing that is so fascinating. You get in on the first floor. It automatically opens for you. You walk in. You don't have to do anything. Just stand there. It goes to floor 3. What if you want to go to floor 4? Or 2? Well, you get out on 3 and you can walk down 2 flights or up 2 flights. That's not work. And Jesus complained that those Pharisees taught the rules of men as if they were the laws of God. We even do that today sometimes because in legalistic settings, the question is, what do you do on Sunday? I don't even chew gum on Sunday. Would you play baseball on Sunday? You know, that's a day of rest. God will get you, you know. You know, I've heard that. In fact, in some of my early days, and I love my parents and my grandparents. They were great people of God, but they were a little bit embroiled in legalism. And I could remember at my grandmother's house on the farm, boy, the day, Sunday, don't move. Now, that was a hard thing for me. I was an active child before they knew words to describe them. And I can't tell you how it destroyed Sundays for me. When Grandma says, sit right there on that chair. Don't move. Why? It's Sunday. You know, you're pretty mean, God. You know that? And if I moved, she'd come up and this was her form of punishment. She was a thumper. Let me tell you one of the little secrets of the kingdom, folks. In Jesus, every day is the Sabbath. And you know what Sabbath means? Rest. And he said, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And every day will become a day of rest. Your activities won't be the same anymore in that they won't be activities of anxiety. In your innermost being, you will walk in Sabbath every day. Well, so this guy's carrying his bed. The Bible doesn't say you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath. But they had decided, hey, in our rules, as we interpret the law, you are carrying your bed, and pal, we want to know why. They didn't even notice he was healed. We don't care about that. You're breaking our rules, boy. Why are you carrying your bed? Well, the guy that made me well said, take up your bed and get out of here. Who is this fella that told you? Huh? I don't know. Didn't tell me his name. Well, you find out. We don't like people doing that around here. This is Sabbath. This is God's day. Isn't that amazing? But you see, Jesus himself said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was just a signal of the rest that comes into our spirits when we become followers of Jesus and we can leave the pool. Well, this guy is so delighted, man. He does the right thing. He heads straight for the temple. Oh, God, I gotta thank you for this. This is wonderful. Here I am, God. Oh, man. I gotta write. Oh, yes, this is wonderful. Great is thy faithfulness. I can sing it over and over and over and over and over and over. And Jesus, I think, kind of knew he'd be there. He finds him. Hey, look, I'm Jesus and made you well. Now, look, don't go back to your old lifestyle. It's been so destructive, and it'll make it worse for you. I want you to live a kind of lifestyle now that only produces good in you and others. Don't go back to that. You know, we call it repentance. Don't go back to that. It didn't work, and it won't work. Hey guys, I found out who told me. His name was Jesus.
Oh, it was, eh? Wow. You can tell him we're going to kill him for this. They sought to kill him because he had done God's work on God's day. You see, the thing about Jesus is he loves people. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. He loves you so much that you're the central focus of his work. He cares that much for you. In fact, Jesus says, hey, look, and I'm going to paraphrase this. Me and my dad are at work 24 hours a day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's at work in your behalf. It's not a special season. It's not during revival. It's not during special things that go on or certain seasons or just Christmas. All good things happen at Christmas. But they happen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with God. Because once you decide, I will hear your voice, I will follow you, then you enter Sabbath and you rest. Now, I love the fact that this guy was found by Jesus. See, he was just sitting there. He didn't hunt Jesus up. He didn't say, I don't want a pusher. I want a private detective. Could you find this guy Jesus for me? But Jesus found him. And this is the name of the game, you know. I always enjoyed playing hide-and-go-seek with my children when they were growing up. They didn't understand a game when they were small. I'd count to 50, say, here I come, ready or not, turn around. There they are. I don't see you. You don't see me. And then they would sometimes say, Daddy, I'm going to go hide in the kitchen. You come find me. Okay. I don't know if you've ever done this, but after you've been playing with them like that for a while, finally you send them out to hide and you don't go hunt them. That's when you find out what this game is really all about, see, because in about 3 minutes you'll hear, and you'll see a hand or a foot. And the name of the game, folks, is being found. We all want to be found by God, and He has found you. And most of you, your lives here are evidence that God has found you. He hunted you, you see. We hunted Him like we hunt a policeman, right, when we've done 95 miles an hour. But because of His incredible love for us, He hunted us. And what did He do? Did He say, you dirty dog, you? No. He says, would you like to be whole? Would you like to be well? You're miserable. Would you like to have... Oh. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been around this pool for a long time. You might even be wealthy enough to have 4 or 5 teams of pushers. But it hadn't worked. You might even be here under protest, you know. Someone said, hey, we got a guy, he's on a 3-day pass. Come here. Crazy. And you're here, and the songs are a little strange. Never heard those before. And you never seen people sing them quite that earnestly before. And you're wondering. And you're thinking, well, there are enough people here, I can hide. He knows you're here. Remember, you're here. And so He stands in front of you and He asks, do you want to stay here? Do you want to be helpless? Or would you like to be made whole? And you may think, could you push me in? And he says, no, because that's not where it's at. You've been trying that for a long time. But if you'll listen to me, you can move and you can be whole. And that's still true today. That's still true today. Jesus invites you, and if you happen to be here and you haven't heard His voice yet, you're hearing it now. If you haven't heard it, you're hearing it now, and He is telling you there is hope, and it's not that pool, but it's the Jesus who finds you out here where you realize, I can't do it, I can't hack it, what am I going to do? And Jesus says, here I am. It's interesting, the scripture says, let us see, he was crucified outside the gates of the city, which really is interesting. And in Hebrews says, let us go to him outside the gates. And so what I offer to you this morning is outside the gates of every institution you've ever seen. It's outside the gates of every system you've ever observed. It is outside the gates of the gurus, outside the gates of the psychologists, outside the gates of Washington. But it's where Jesus is, and it's the only place where healing comes, where deliverance comes, where sins are forgiven. So I'm going to ask you in a moment to do a rather brave thing. I'm going to ask you, if you are hearing me and you've decided, you know, I've been at what I've had a long time and it really hadn't produced, I think I'll go to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing in just a minute. I'm actually going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come right down here in front of everybody else and just stand for a moment where I'll pray with you again, and then invite you to join some counselors for just a moment while they give you some things that will really help you grow in your relationship with God. You may think, right in front of all these people? Hey, listen, folks, in the pool, who do you think you're in front of as you do what amounts to really fruitless things? There was a great multitude there watching these poor, sick people, themselves sick, kind of thinking, maybe I can jump over them when they're not watching. And the rest of the world has become your enemy. But in the body of Christ, it's entirely different. We become your friends. And the rest of the world becomes not enemies, but a project to share the mercy of God with. So the song leaders are going to come now, the worship leaders, and in a moment I'm going to pray. And after I have prayed, and while they are playing, I want you to take that brave step that says, okay, I'm going to try you, buddy. Because where I have been is like that pool, and it has not produced. But if Jesus is who you say He is, I'm here. And He will be, I promise you. So I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, you can pray too. Let God talk to you. Let some new voice come into your heart. Not the voice of fear or the voice of anxiety or the voice of, they might talk about me at my job. They might persecute me. I might lose my place. Wonderful. Lose that place, but come to the place of wholeness in Jesus. So while I'm praying, you pray too, and you listen to the voice of God. And while they're playing, then make your way down here. Be the best day of your life. And talk about Thanksgiving. It starts today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, You are so incredibly good to us. How marvelous are Your ways that You would put up with this long. The things we've done to You, the things we've said about You, the reasons You should have incinerated us, and yet Your mercy has just flowed, and You've put this day together just for us. Oh, thank You. And now, Lord, I really, truly am sorry for my sins. Oh, please forgive me. Please accept me into Your kingdom. I want to leave the pool. I want to hear Your voice. And I want to receive Your forgiveness and start brand new today. Oh, thank You that You keep Your word. and I'm more than glad to come to you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I can't begin to tell you how much God loves you. You're going to spend the rest of your life finding out just how much He loves you. It is unbelievable. It is overwhelming. He is not your enemy. He loves you. And it is so that you could be His child that He came. Welcome to princehood, princesshood. Welcome to being God's kids. And I want you to know too that this move today, it makes you brand new. You're squeaky clean. Everything you've ever done is forgiven. It's brand new today. Well, what if I make some mistakes tomorrow? You just tell Him, I'm really sorry, please forgive me. And you squeaky clean all over. See, this is the joy of His grace. So I want you to know you're in for the most glorious adventure of your lives. Just simply loving Jesus and being loved by Him. Now you need to know too that you're brand new. And being brand new, it's just like a baby. And babies can't do much except just be loved. And we want you to know that we love you. You're surrounded by loving people, but man, you are loved by God. So I want to help you kind of get along the way by leading you in a prayer that will help you just sort of see how you can do this every day if you feel like you need to. But it starts you off today and you're brand new in Jesus. You're going to be disappointed in yourself at times, but He'll never be disappointed in you, and you won't be disappointed in Him. So you can repeat it after me if you wish. And it'll help you understand. It'll get you going here. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me for being a sinner and for what I have done. I ask you to help me live for you now. I invite you to be king in my life, to take over. And I believe that you do this because you keep your word. And you promised that you would never cast anyone out that came to you. So I am yours. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes.
To help you explore the lifestyle of Jesus in more detail, Servant Quarters offers a wide variety of books, audio messages, and videotapes. For a complete listing of these resources, please write Servant Quarters, Post Office Box 219, Cathedral City, California, 92235. Or you may call Servant Quarters toll-free at 888-321-0077. You may also visit our website at www.servant.org.